Greetings. Good morning, everybody. Happy birthday. That's all I want to say. Okay. It's great to be here. And thank Matthew for picking me up. My car wouldn't start this morning. And my wife's over there with a new grandson. And Mabel hasn't had her one yet. And good to see Peter and all the ones here. And are there any prayer requests before I give my 25-minute devotion? You know, it's 20 minutes, but I'll go 5 minutes over time. There's Marilyn, Lila Beau, Max's mom. She'd be in our prayers daily. Who else? Who else? Max is himself. Skyler's aren't here. And half our group isn't here. Dijon and Joe Yoder and the older ones. I missed two Sundays in the last month or so for my thing. And I appreciate Daniel's lesson last week. I heard that and had a comment on it and on evangelism. And perhaps the greatest form of evangelism is what, Darren? What do you think it is, Darren? Perhaps one of them. I can't say it is, but perhaps the greatest form of evangelism, according to Jesus. Yeah, it's possible, but a direct word from Jesus, a direct phrase, a direct thing. Therefore, all men will know you, my disciples, by your love for one another. So the assembling. And that's, in my peanut brain, that would be probably the greatest form of evangelism, although there could be something greater than that. But that is, according to the Lord's words, a great form of evangelism. So let's always remember not to forsake the assembling, to strive to follow the example of the Jerusalem church daily. Daily, as much as possible. And I know sometimes because of the weather, because of sickness, because of various things, we can't do it. But it's good to at least call or talk to a brother or sister every day. And those who are single, like Brad and Darren and others, that it's more difficult, I know. I mean, I have my wife and the brothers have their families and things, but it's harder for that. But and we just shouldn't be confined to our family. We should try daily. It's more of a command to me than a suggestion, but those who want to follow it as they do, it's I can't criticize them as long as they're trying to meet with brothers daily, sisters. My text this morning is going to be Romans 16. It's very thrilling, exciting. I know people are going to be jumping up and down. Romans 16, just the first, say, 15 verses. I'm jumping up and down to be ready and try to control myself with that. Romans 16. But before that, I'd like to review a couple of points that hopefully can edify. And this is from, I was planning on doing another lesson on this and that and the other thing, but before I do Romans 16, this would be for the children. Let's see, 16. Are you 14 or 15 now? 14 and under is the age, right? But, okay, you don't have to. If, but okay, the two twin sins of the Israelites in the desert. The twin sins. One was unbelief, and the other one was Levi. What was it? Titus. Huh? Sasha, you're too old. You're 17. Oh, man. Samuel. No, okay. One was unbelief, and the other one was Henry. Boy, it's cold outside. Man, it's cold. My car wouldn't start. The other one was? Complaining. Ingratitude. Complaining. Ingratitude. And there's no end to it. That was the two sins, the twin sins of the Israelites in the desert, 40 years. Imagine that, 40 years like that. And one cure for complaining or ingratitude is found in James chapter 1, 2, 3. Please remember, James 1, 2, 3. James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. It said, how does it go? Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you fall into various things. Consider it joy. And another one, of course, would be 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. Not everything. It doesn't say in everything, for everything give thanks, but in everything give thanks. When a death of a loved one happens, we give thanks for in that, but we're not thankful for that. We're not thankful for ones who have passed away that we thought would live longer or that could have lived longer. We're not thankful for that, but in that situation, we can give thanks. We give thanks in all things. And of course, Philippians 4:4, rejoice again, I say, rejoice always, always. And you know, we can think of Paul and Silas or those, the early Anabaptists. I was listening, because I had a whole week of just staying, and I was contagious for 5 days with this influenza. So I went to a lot of Bible tapes and listened to Duane's on fatherhood again, and listened to anyone wants PP, they can have it, Pilgrim's Progress on the tapes. I went through that, and it's, you know, the five things in Pilgrim's Progress. The only thing I disagreed with, I guess, was the fact that legalist or something, and it said that Bunyan did really look up to Luther in the book of Galatians, and so he did say in one of those things, I caught it, I shared that with Brother Frank last night on the phone, because Frank has seen all the videos, and I said, one thing he said that I really objected to, and that was that a legalist was talking, and your works are filthy rags. And I said, that really bothered me like that. But anyway, he was a great man. God would judge him, and he did so much in that. He was in prison for 12 years, and it's very popular, Pilgrim's Progress, and the thing has some great things in it, but that was one of the things. And I'm not going to criticize him. I'm just saying I didn't like that legalism, as he called the... what did he say? Our works are filthy rags. Apostate Israel, you know, from the crown of the head to the sole of the foot. You know, he's going to chastise them. All day long, I've chastised you. It was apostate Israel. It is not talking about their works. You know, that if they did something good, it would be commended. But it was apostate Israel. And it's been misunderstood. Works are filthy rags. And it was so sad. But anyway, and he was in prison for 12 years. And he had some freedom, though. He did have. They didn't allow him to go home and visit with his wife every so often. It wasn't the prison that it could have been. But in England, and one, you know, when the Jews were in the wilderness complaining, they like to complain more than me. I mean, you know, they were really bad in the sense that they complained about the food. We had all the good stuff, and we had watermelons, and leeks, and onions, and God heard it in His presence, and He struck them down. And then several years later, they complained about manna. They complained about manna. And that really got God upset. He said, okay. And He let fiery snakes come upon them in Kadesh Barnea. And even Lawrence of Arabia, the English bride that went over to there to help free the land from the Turks there, he mentioned in that part of Arabia there, there's those fiery snakes. And the point was, when they... when the unthankful Jews got bit by the snakes, they were to look at a brass serpent, and that brass serpent will heal them. And then, as it says, and Jesus said in John 3, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, the Son of Man will be lifted up. And when you think of that, the bitterness of getting bit by a snake, and then you'd have to look at a serpent to be healed, and how repulsive that would be. And that's what God made them do because of their sin of unbelief. And you know, when I look at the cross, I look at it a little different than I used to, and maybe you brothers can think of something, but I look in the cross, and you know, now they have Christmas decorations, and when I see a cross, just a thing like that, I think basically that I put them up there. I put him up there, Daniel, Darren, Henry. We put him up there. I look at it more that we put him up there in a sense. I know he is God, Jesus is Lord, He is Creator, He is Lover, He's our example, but He's also our Redeemer, that when I look at the cross and say, my sins and your sins, we put them up there. Something like in Pentecost, when Peter preached and he said, you know, this Jesus who you crucified, God has made both Lord and Christ, and they were cut to the heart. They were cut to the heart. I did it, Compa. You did it. We did it. He died when we're sinners. He did it. You know, He did it. He died for us. We could never lose focus in that. And that's just me, maybe my weakness, but I say, I put Him on there. And my wife put Him on there. We all put Him on there. And I know, being God, in the form of God, He come down, He humbled Himself, and He lived a sinless life. Yeah, but He really suffered too. He suffered a lot more than COVID and influenza and Bunyan in prison and a lot of other things. But anyway, so I think we should be cut to our heart more than, at least I should be cut to my heart more than just looking at the cross, and God doesn't owe us anything. And one other point that I bring up before I do Romans 16 would be salt. Salt comes from a Latin word, saltare, salt. And salt, there was a covenant of salt in the Old Testament. When babies are born, I don't know if they do it now, we'll see, you know, they wash the baby with salt. And salt was a covenant of salt. When the priest offered sacrifices, it had to be seasoned with salt. No honey, no leaven, it had to be salt. And salt is kind of a cheap commodity. It's not, like, you know, really that expensive, but salt. And Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. And salt is a very special item in God's mind, salt. And some of the words we get from salt in our English language, one is salary. Salary, that means your worth, your wages in salt. That's how I used to pay people, you know, in salt. It was salary. Salad, they would get lettuce, and then they would sprinkle some salt on it, and they called it salad. The Romans did that. And then there's other words from salt. Can anyone else think of a word from salt that may really impress you? You know, the word from salt, Matthew? I mean, Samuel? You, Matthew, too. No? Come on, Dito. Another word from salt that make you jump up and down? You got it? Huh? Amen. Salvation. Salvation comes from salt. You ever think of that? Salt. Salvation. That's how important, or derivative from that, like that, salt. And salt, it comes in blocks too, right? If you're over the Dead Sea or Salt Lakes, I know it's Salt Lake Sea, but it comes in blocks, and you have to break it down. And that could be symbolic of the Levites. The Levites, who were priests, they had to spread out. They couldn't own any land, and they inhabited 20 cities, you know, and but they couldn't. Their inheritance was the Lord. And if you think of the symbolism between the Levites and even Christians, they could not go to war. They couldn't marry a divorced person. They couldn't own property. And that we, being the new priesthood, have the same, a lot of the same, same properties like that, and but it had to be spread out. And God made a covenant with salt. Sacrifice had to be seasoned, and we should cleanse ourselves from all defilement of the flesh and body, and be in the spirit, being perfected. Notice under the law of Moses, another type would be back then they had animal sacrifices, and today, under the New Testament, we should do what, Darren? Spirituals are our bodies. Present your body as a living sacrifice. They had animal sacrifices, now we have our body. Then they had the temple, we have the church. They had an unblemished animal, it was really without, you know, a good animal. And our character should be unblemished with no wrinkle and spot, our character. And then the fourth one was only the priests offered the sacrifices. And we have the priesthood of all believers. So we are all priests. We all can offer sacrifices to God. So there's four. Animal sacrifices, temple, to the church, to our bodies as sacrifices, unblemished character, holiness, and then the priesthood of all believers. Okay, I'm going to get to Romans now. I'm always halfway down there, but Romans 16. I'm going to read a few verses. It's just thrilling verses. I want everyone to stay in their seats. You don't have to jump up and down. Romans 16. Just a few verses. Excuse me. Romans 16. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a deacon of the church in Centuria. I ask you to receive her in the Lord in a way worthy of his people, and to give her any help she may need from you, for she has been the benefactor of many people, including me. Greet Priscilla in Aquila, my co-workers in Christ Jesus. They risk their lives for me. Not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. Greet also the church that meets at their house. Greet my dear friend Epaphras, who was the first convert to Christ in the province of Asia. Greet Mary, who worked very hard for you. Greet Andronicus and Junia, my fellow Jews, who have been in prison with me. They were outstanding among the apostles, and they were in Christ before I was. Greet Amphiatus, my dear friend in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our co-workers in Christ. And my dear friend Stachys. Greet Apelles, whose fidelity to Christ has stood the test. Greet those who belong to the household of Aristobulus. Greet Herodian, my fellow Jew. Greet those in the household of Narcissus, who are in the Lord. Greet Tryphena and Phaphosa, those women who work hard in the Lord. Greet my dear friend Persis, another woman who has worked very hard in the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen of the Lord, and his mother, who has been a mother to me also. Greet Asclepius, Phlegon, Hermes, Patrobus, Hermas, and other brothers and sisters with them. Greet Philologus, Julia, Nereus, and his sister, and Olympus, and all the people who are with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss, and the churches of Christ send greetings. I urge you, brothers and sisters, to watch out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teaching you have learned. Keep away from them, for such people are not serving our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. By smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the minds of naive people. Everyone has heard about your obedience, so I rejoice because of you. But I want you to be wise about what is good and innocent about what is evil. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. I'll stop there. I didn't see anyone jumping up and down. This was a telephone book. Telephone book. Warning, Brother Brett. It's a telephone book. And all these people. Now, Romans 15, 4 says, all scripture, and the others, they're inspired for God, profitable for instruction. And so all genealogies and all these people, if we make it to the Zion above, where these people are our brothers and sisters. These are our heroes. These are something. This is very exciting. All those people. And you know what's it's really exciting is that a lot of these ones, for example, I'll start out, I commend to you our sister Phoebe. It says deacon in the NIV here. Deacon of the church in Centuria. Deacon of servants or whatever like that. Phoebe. Now, who was she? Was she a widow? Was she a young girl, single, married? Was she wealthy? Was she the one who carried the epistle of Romans to the people? One commentator said that she could have been the one who carried the letter to Rome, like this. And right off the top, you know, there's about 7 or 8 women, sisters in this group. And the women usually have their role. They're going to keep silent in the assembly, and they can't be elders. And right off the top, Paul is commending the sisters, Phoebe, and we serve her in the Lord, and commend in front of everybody. Don't ever feel like you're second-class citizens. In fact, motherhood and submitting to your husbands is really just the same as the man's calling. But Phoebe. Next is Prisca and Quilla, my co-workers in Christ Jesus, and they risked their lives for me. And, I think King James says they risked their necks, same thing, they risked their lives for them like that. And she's mentioned first, Prisca. over Aquila. You know, the phrase is used a lot, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. In fact, this is where it starts, right? Romans is used in Christ. Everything is in Christ. Greet Junior, in Christ. Greet Peter, in Christ. Greet Twain, in Christ. Atling, in Christ. Everyone, in Christ. Where does that come from? Someone said that that comes from, well, it could come from a few sources, usually the Gospel of Matthew. I was hungry and naked and like this, and there's a, you did it to them, you did it to me. And there's also another one in Matthew where it says that in Christ. Paul is stealing that from either Matthew or one of the other even evangelical writers and using that. He's the only one who uses that, in Christ, but he's getting that. And I can't find the other. But Matthew has three times where he uses that, in Christ. And we do that a lot, in Christ. Whenever you do it to one of the least of these, you do it to me. So it's in Christ. And that's the association in Christ. Okay, so Prisca and Aquila. And they risked their lives for him. But all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. Not just Rome, but all the churches. Paul never went to Rome like that. Greet Mary, who worked very hard from you, Andronicus and Junia, my fellow Jews. Junia, I looked up in a dictionary, and it says really a man, Junius, but anyway, who have been in prison with me. They were outstanding among the apostles. Amphlius, dear friend in the Lord. Bananas, co-worker in Christ. Stakes. And how about that one where it says they were in Christ before me. Andronicus and Junia. Is there anything peculiar about that? They were in Christ before Paul. Can you see anything? Anything that should make Paul jump up and down? Or make us jump and down? He said, greet him with a holy kiss. Years before, Paul wanted to kill him, right? He wanted to kill him. Now he wants to greet him with a holy kiss. Transformation, huh? That's a transformation. It's a transformation for all of us. We all used to hate people, and now we want to love people. Okay. Aristobulus, Herodian, household of Narcissus, Tryphena and Fophosa. We don't know about those two girls, but their names, praise the Lord. I want to be like Tryphena and Fophosa. I want to be like Rufus. I want to be like all those people, don't you? These are people that, you know, it's a terrible thing. You know, listen to Pilgrim's Progress, Dwayne, about the judgment and the fiery judgment and all those things. It's the most tragic day there will ever be, and the judgment comes. It's just so sad. You can't think of it. And many people will say, well, Lord, didn't we know you? Didn't we do this? In eternity, in fire and brimstone and screeching and crying forever. That judgment day is so we don't want to think of it. We can't dwell on it. Nobody can dwell on it really and really keep sanity. But these people have fought the good fight and they're examples. And that's just about done. There are examples. Greet each other with a holy kiss. And in a holy kiss, you know, back then, a kiss is not sexual. The kiss there was a kiss of love. The way that parents kiss their children. Nehemiah, you can get kissed by your mom and dad. It's beautiful. It's loving. It's not a sexual perversion. The kiss was a token of love. It wasn't this. Satan has really hijacked the word kiss to it's something that's sexual and carnal, and it isn't. It was meant to be like that. His parents loved their children, and greet each other with a holy kiss. And so I'll close with my last little thing that I said it before, but I think of it often, and it's a true story. But when we lived in Arkansas, 11 years ago, or even before that, we lived in Oklahoma, maybe 20 years ago, my wife and daughters, and Phil Petrie, some of you may know Phil Petrie, but anyway, he had a little group there, only a few families. But there was a family, a man named David Yoda, and he adopted some children. And one of the children he adopted was a girl named Jeannie Yoda. She had spina bifida, how do you say it? You know, the backbone. She was a Russian girl. She was adopted. She lived her whole life in a wheelchair. Something like Caleb, only but she did have legs. She did have legs. And anyway, Jeannie was a precious little girl. I can't make it without crying, I guess, but I remember it was a Wednesday night Bible study. And this was like 20 years ago, or maybe 15 years ago in Oklahoma, and Wednesday night at David Yoda's home. And I said, Jeannie, what are you thankful for? And she went, You. So I saw her about 11 years ago. Phil Petrie came up to Arkansas, and Jeannie was there in a wheelchair. And I said, Jeannie, you remember me? Oh, yeah, like that. And it's good to see you. She died about 2 years after that. She didn't have the health. But I always remember that. And so I just want to say, you know what I'm thankful for? You. The Lord be magnified. Any comments, corrections? Go ahead. It's okay for me in Christ. I cry all the time when I'm at home.
Yeah, I don't have much to add. I just wanted to say thank you, Robert. And we're thankful for you too. And God, just help us love one another. And as he said, I think to the brothers in Thessalonica, that he said something like, concerning brotherly love, you really don't have a need that I write to you, but just excel even more. And so I just want that for us too. Thank you.